Damn, son, where'd you find this? Trapaholics Mixtapes.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to The Trap, where we are still tracing how rap affects pop culture and the pedagogy at large. Man, it's been a long time since we last convened in late 2024, y'all, and a lot has been going on in the realm of trap music. T.I. recently dropped his single Let Him Know, which is the lead single off his final album, Kill the King. He's also been going back and forth with 50 Cent over the latter backing out of a Versus rap battle. Young Jeezy has been going on tour with the live orchestra commemorating the 20th anniversary of TM101, and he has recently started his Las Vegas residency. And Gucci Mane LaFleur and his artist Pooh Shiesty are currently at odds after Shiesty allegedly robbed Gucci. Oh, and now Fujiano is also out of prison. But we are not here to just talk about the beef. We are here to talk about the music. Obviously, last episode we talked extensively about the beginnings of the trap genre, and then talked about the LimeWire, MySpace, YouTube era. We talked about DJs, producers who helped curate the sound, and we also talked about the mixtape and blog era ending around 2013. We wanted to get through trap's first 10 years. In this episode, we're talking specifically about the SoundCloud era and how that bridged the gap between the mixtape and blog era to the streaming platforms that we have now. And we're also going to talk about the rise of Chicago drill music, specifically with Chief Keef, Lil Durk, and all them guys, man. So let's get straight to it.
So for all my ladies, we ain't forget about y'all.
Midwest country, bitch.
Get it too, stupid.
That song you just heard is Save That by Chief Keef off his mixtape Back From The Dead. In 2012, Chicago native Keith Cozart was 16 years old on house arrest, living with his grandmother. While inside, Keith began recording music and posting low-budget music videos to YouTube, which went viral and allowed him to build up his fan base. His main producer and collaborator was Young Chop on the beat, whose production was cinematic, haunting, and utilized snare rolls, while the lyrics mostly talked about drugs and street life from Keith's perspective. Drill music derived from Southern trap music, and some fans today argue that Waka Flocka Flame was actually an early inspiration to the genre. Released in 2012, Chief Keef's Back From The Dead mixtape spawned the songs Save That, which we just listened to, I Don't Know Them, and the mega hits 300 and I Don't Like.
A snitch, nigga, that's that shit I don't like. A bitch, nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
I Don't Like went super viral, and it would later spawn a remix from another Chicago native, Kanye West, also featuring artists Pusha T, Big Sean, and Jadakiss, according to Complex and Apple Music. West's remix and acknowledgement of the 16-year-old phenom legitimized him to the industry, and Keef released his debut album, Finally Rich, later on in 2012 on Interscope Records. Finally Rich included a re-release of I Don't Like, Kobe, I Hate Being Sober featuring 50 Cent and Wiz Khalifa, and the mega hit Love Sosa, which we'll take a quick listen to now.
Y'all know I'm a grown boy. Your clip full of grown boys. God, y'all so
Keefe's rise to stardom popularized many things, including the terms op for opponent or opposition, thought, and glow or glowed up, short for glory, which was the name of his group, Glory Boys Entertainment. GBE also included artists like Lil Reese and Fredo Santana, as well as Tato, SD, Ball Out, and many others. Keefe was also clicked up with OTF, or Only the Family, artist Lil Durk, whose song This Ain't What You Want propelled him to mainstream stardom as well. Mr. Thanksgiving! Tell me what this gonna be, yo. This ain't what you want. I call it how I see it, so. This ain't what you want. I'm on the road, do a show so well. This ain't what you want. Hit the road, you can go, I know. Lil Durk became known for using auto-tune to craft melodic tunes, but he would also rap without using the software and later evolved past making just drill music. As mentioned before, Keefe's fame put a spotlight on other Chicago drill artists, some who were clicked up or bitter street rivals with one another. On one hand, you had Keefe and GBE artists, while on the other hand, you had guys like King Lil J and Billionaire Black. There were also guys like L.A. Capone, R.I.P., and Rondo No. 9, as well as Tay 600, E-Day, and Buka 600. Countless drill artists began gaining notoriety as drill music took the world by storm. Later, around 2013 and going into 2014, Lil Herb, a.k.a. G Herbo, and Lil Bibby also began dropping songs, primarily produced by DJ L, another Chicago producer who doesn't get enough flowers. Herb and Bibby specifically formed a prolific duo, and their collaboration Kill Shit propelled them to mainstream notoriety. It's time to let these niggas know what it is in the street. Hey, baby, that's Kill Shit, broski. What you wanna do? It's whatever, man. You go ahead and rip that shit. I'ma come around and clean that shit up. Let's get it. Know a couple niggas that's down the ride for a homicide when it's drama time. Run up on a nigga with the llamas flying, leave his loved ones all traumatized. 150, I'm really with it. I'll drop his ass and then forget it. On a man round my side of town, might see a bitch and forget I hit it. Lil Bibby on the track with me. One mistake and he clap 50. When I hit the same hoes, go insane, cause they know a nigga got them racks with me. No Velcro, but the strap with me. Let a nigga wanna act silly. I'ma let it off and then leave him now. Ride off and don't even care. Meanwhile, King Louie, who is also seen as a major pioneer of drill music, and his song How We Move with Lil Bibby also gained notoriety during the time. Shot got my hand hot. Law come, we ain't saying shit. We ain't on that plan shit. We'll come through sprint shit. I'm in deep with the crew. That's how we move. My young boys got that tool. That's how we move. Out here trying to fuck that school. That's how we move. All of the aforementioned artists achieved mainstream stardom. Chicago drill music became an inspiration for New York drill, which features artists like the late Pop Smoke, Favio Foreign, Chef G, and more. That genre then became an inspiration for UK drill, where rappers from across the pond would rap over similar production. DJ L, the producer I named earlier, who produced extensively for Herbo and Bibby, is a crucial inspiration, as a lot of New York and UK drill melodies sound much like his earlier production from the 2010s. Now, Chief Keef, who is seen as the godfather of drill, later signed to Gucci Mane's 1017 Brick Squad Records, as I mentioned last episode. Keef continues rapping to this day and also produces his own songs. Perhaps his biggest self-produced hit is Finito, released in 2014. Meanwhile, Lil Durk released a slew of mixtapes, most notably the Sign to the Streets series, and continued evolving past drill music. Because of his melodic songs about street life, he proclaimed himself the, quote, voice of the streets and voice of the trenches, and that voice metaphor has been alluded to in recent projects. Some of his more recent mainstream collaborations include 2023's All My Life featuring J. Cole, as well as Broadway Girls and Stand By Me, both with country music megastar Morgan Wallen. Lil Bibby released the Free Crack mixtape series, which included three installments, before retiring from rapping and transitioning to a career as an A&R. Lil Herb changed his name to G Herbo and put out a slew of mixtapes in the early 2010s, including Welcome to Faison Land, Ballin' Like I'm Kobe, Strictly for My Fans, and more. His primary collaborator is producer Southside on the track, who we talked about in episode 1, and the pair released the collaborative album Swervo in 2018, which is one of his nicknames. 2019's Still Swervin' and 2024's Big Swerve continued to allude to the metaphor, and he released his self-titled album in late 2025. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you Google some of the songs we listened to earlier, you'll probably see a link that says, quote, listen now on SoundCloud. And at this point, we've all seen memes and jokes about being a SoundCloud rapper or dropping a mixtape on the site. However, in the early 2010s, SoundCloud became a legitimate breeding ground for new talent and was a low barrier way for artists to make a name for themselves and cultivate a fan base. Now, the website, originally founded in 2007, became known for artists of all genres being able to upload music for free, including freestyles or music with copyrighted material, and listeners could download the songs. SoundCloud rap became the term for the subgenre, which was known for cheaply self-recorded music that was sometimes unmixed and maybe had slurred or mumbled lyrics. It became a way for artists to reach fans on the internet who might not have had label connections, proximity to a studio, or any other obvious way into the industry. Now, for any confused listeners out there, SoundCloud rap differs slightly from the term cloud rap, which, according to Tastemakers magazine, refers to more hazy, psychedelically inspired rap style popularized by artists like A$AP Rocky and Lil B the Bass God in early 2010. Nevertheless, that raw and prolific output of music is how many artists got their start in the industry. The SoundCloud rap era peaked in 2016 when Florida's Kodak Black, Philadelphia's Lil Uzi Vert, and Atlanta's 21 Savage were all named to the XXL freshman class, and their freestyle went viral. Now, there were many other artists like Juice WRLD, RIP, The Late Lil Peep, Ski Mask, The Slump God, XXXTentacion, RIP, Post Malone, and others who released songs on the platform. The songs would blow up organically, leading to increased notoriety and attention from labels. Some artists were simply one-hit wonders, while others used the platform as momentum to get signed, go on tour, and begin recording more music. While the site was originally free, it now has ads and premium paid features, which only allows artists to upload a certain amount of hours of music. Nevertheless, SoundCloud was a legendary moment in the culture and is responsible for popularizing many of the hottest artists we have today. Now, as I just mentioned, SoundCloud was previously a free service that now incorporates paid premium tiers. Pitchfork magazine's Mark Hogan noted the shift in digital music consumption as it happened back on June 1st, 2016. He writes, quote, streaming companies that previously used to offer only free ad-supported services like YouTube and SoundCloud have started providing paid subscription options. Pandora, which provides online radio rather than songs that can be streamed on demand, has undertaken an acquisition and a change in management. Apple Music and Tidal entered the on-demand streaming fray, both without a bona fide free tier, end quote. Now, this rise of musical streaming was primarily done as artists such as Taylor Swift, for example, began voicing their concerns over payouts as well as music piracy. Now, last episode, we talked extensively about LimeWire. We didn't really talk about its predecessor, Napster, as much, but music piracy has obviously been an issue for decades. Now, rappers were releasing mixtapes for free in the mid-2000s to the mid-2010s, which we also discussed, but these free streaming platforms marked a
big shift in the way users could listen to their favorite artists, as well as how these artists could upload and get paid from their music. In 2024, the Atlanta Institute for Music and Media noted that, quote, now hundreds of millions of people subscribe to music streaming services like Apple Music, Spotify, and Amazon Music. This shift shows that music consumers value access over ownership, challenging the traditional music business model. With the increasing adoption of music streaming platforms, subscription fees have become more competitive, offering better deals for music consumers. This has democratized access to music, benefiting both major record labels and independent artists, end quote. Also in 2024, Illustrate magazine noted that, quote, while streaming has made music more accessible to fans, it has also introduced significant changes to the way artists earn money from their music, end quote. The article goes on to talk about the challenges artists face, which include low per stream payouts, a dependence on streaming, and increased competition. Illustrate also wrote that streaming platforms are not just passive music libraries. They actively shape the listening experience through curated playlists and algorithms. Personalized playlists like Spotify's Discover Weekly or Apple Music's For You use data-driven algorithms to recommend songs based on a user's listening habits, end quote. Now, of course, when you talk about algorithms, this is something that content creators on social media talk about at length, especially those who also make music. I mentioned in class earlier this week that many consumers value convenience over cost. While music is certainly more accessible than ever before, it may not make much sense financially for certain listeners. For example, older relatives who may have bought hundreds of albums over the course of their life might find it hard to pay a monthly fee that gives them access to all music, including music they already bought decades ago. Also, sites like Spotify require internet connection to search for songs and playlists, whereas, of course, CDs, vinyls, and physical media, even though it's not as convenient, don't require that, and they can be listened to at any time. The iTunes era might have been the sweet spot for buying and downloading music, but of course, hindsight is 2020, and we're certainly way past that era now. This generation of cloud-based content that you cannot own relates to a concept I talked about in class this week, techno-feudalism, which basically says that we are renting digital content we could previously own, and we are now getting rid of physical media, which is changing capitalist markets. The same is already happening with Netflix, Disney+, Hulu, and other TV media giants, while we are also moving away from cash to tap to pay in digital cryptocurrencies. This shift from physical to digital realms is scary to see in real time, in my opinion, but each person must make cost-effective decisions for themselves and see what they value more between convenience or ownership. We could go on and on about this topic, y'all, but I'm going to stop here for today. I do sincerely appreciate you all for clicking on this link and hearing me out as we discussed the origins of drill music and talked about the shift from free music to paid streaming platforms. Hopefully, I gave you some old projects or perhaps new artists to listen to, and I certainly hope to be with you on the next edition of the Trap Podcast. Bitch, we owe some.